B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
To help us understand everything with the Philadelphia Eagles a little bit further, from Bleeding Green Nation right now, Michael Kist joins us on the Comcast Business Hotline. What's going on, Michael?
Brother, it is Victory Tuesday. We're keeping the party going all week. How are you guys doing?
I wish there was more of a party here, Michael, because everything that happens with this game when trying to analyze it always defaults to, yeah, well, it was the Jets, so... It's kind of that vibe in Philly right now, unfortunately.
It wasn't the highest quality win, and it wasn't the prettiest blowout, but it was a blowout nonetheless. Yeah, the offense sputtered a little bit. If it's going to happen, why not then? Overall, the offense has been very efficient and putting up a lot of points. The defense showed some turnover ability. That's fantastic. And 10 sacks. So it's hard to complain when, especially the defensive side of the ball, which is the biggest worry for the Eagles right now, steps up and does what they should do and more. So there are reasons to be excited about this team. You got to see them play against a real quarterback, but positive takeaways for the most part.
Yeah, and it feels like most people, though, the takeaway I have is it's a product of the modern NFL. Your defense went out there and exceeded expectations. I mean, they dominated, but they, like, super dominated this game. The offense just left a lot to be desired in this one, so there you go. It doesn't feel like that big of a win.
Yeah, and that's true. And I think some of the feeling about this being a blowout game the entire way and Vegas having such a big line was because of Luke Falk was starting for the Jets. It got extrapolated out onto the Jets defense, which has actually been a decent to above average unit overall, and gave some interesting looks to the Eagles early on that kind of confused them. Greg Williams is known for disguising his blitzes and everything like that, and they were able to get some decent push and kind of disrupt the timing and rhythm of the passing game. So there's that to work on for sure. But as far as, like, am I even close to hitting the panic button on the offensive performance? No, not at all. This team has shown that it can put up points against very good defenses like it did against Green Bay. So I think it's much ado about nothing, and the defense should be lauded for its performance. And if the offense comes out next week and scores on its first drive, everybody's going to forget about this.
So, speaking with Michael Kist of Bleeding Green Nation, so my only concern, though, and I'm not hitting the panic button by any means, but I do have some concern that if the Vikings are hitting a stride in their passing game, and they can run the ball very well with Dalvin Cook, even though the Eagles have been great against the run, can this offense keep up with that offense if this game goes to shootout mode in Minnesota?
Yeah, I think they can keep pace in a boat race. I think the big issue is not getting into a boat race, and I think it might be that because of the way that the Vikings offense is constructed. And you look at their first drive against the Giants, we'll tell you everything you need to know about the Vikings offense. They went play action boot, toss with Cook, and then they set up a play action boot screen to Cook. So you're going to get a lot of screen game action that's going to give the Eagles problems. Play action has been a big bugaboo for the Eagles this year. Before the Jets game, I think they were giving up a 133 quarterback rating to play action concepts. Kirk Cousins and the Vikings run at the seventh most in the league. So that's going to be something that they have to tighten up. Maybe they should loosen up on committing to stopping the run so much and, you know, allow their linebackers and their safeties to get in the coverage and overlap their zones a little bit better. So I do agree that this Vikings offense, while they are kind of helter-skelter, I think they can be a bit of a problem for the defense.
Now, you think that this offense can keep up in a shootout without DeSean Jackson being in this lineup?
No, I don't necessarily, what are we calling a shootout? Is it 40 to 34? Is it 31 to 28? Because I think either way, the Eagles offense can be efficient. And you look to their drive against the Packers, that 8-play, 76-yard drive, where it was like vintage 2017 Eagles. It was play action from under center and under center runs, and the RPO quick game got going. And it was a lot of they had a good screen schemed up there as well. So there was a lot of things that they had success with in maintaining efficient drives back in 2017. So that'll shorten the game up a little bit if that's the kind of drive that you want. Carson Wentz has been really good in the pre-snap phase at dialing up shots, not just to DeSean, but, you know, he dialed up one to Aguilar in the Lions game that didn't go for a touchdown because there was defensive pass interference, which was a smart move by the defender. But, you know, they can dial up shots. They can be efficient. They've shown to be one of the, I think they're like top eight in efficiency for the amount that they score touchdowns on their drives. So I don't see any issues with the Eagles just like falling way behind in this game.
Michael, Sidney Jones didn't play last week. He was dressed but didn't play, and you had Craig James in there. You go against Thielen and Diggs this week. What do you think the starting backfield is going to look like for that defense for the Eagles?
It's trouble. It's, no matter how you slice it, I think Rasul Douglas is playing some really good football, and I think for the first time in his career has strung together some solid starts. So that's a plus. And I think the Eagles, of course, being light on their cornerback depth, they're going to have Orlando Scandrick in there as well, who showed to be a really good blitzer against the Jets, which I don't think anybody really expected. And Jim Schwartz was dialing up some blitzes with him, which was interesting. But like you said, the main concern is how do you deal with Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen, and I don't think the Eagles necessarily have the guys that can do that. So again, as I mentioned before, with the play action with the Vikings, they might have to commit a little bit less to the run and hope they don't get gashed that way, but then allow them to play more too high safety looks and give some help to those corners. So maybe they can trail a little bit more. Maybe they can get some overlapping zones over the top and they can kind of play it both ways. So I think it's going to have to be more schematically giving help to those corners and those corners just holding one-on-one on an island. Because if you ask them to do that, I think the Eagles are in big trouble.
Speaking of the corners, Rasul Douglas, I mean, forget about just Eagles standards. He's been a pretty good corner for you all year. I mean, I think by far the best on the Eagles roster for the entire season. Week one struggled a little bit, but since then has been a solid corner. What have you made of Rasul Douglas' season so far?
Yeah, I mean, this is the most consistent stretch that we've seen from him for a while. And there were people were wondering last year why he wasn't getting a chance. And when he came in, he kind of made some mental errors. I think he's cleaned up a lot of that with his game to where he's extremely sound. And look, I don't care if my corner gives up some yards. If they give me turnovers, then that's fantastic. I'll take that all day. And Rasul has fantastic ball skills. Hasn't really shown out. He hasn't had the opportunity to do so this season. But when he gets a chance, the guy makes big plays. So I love having a guy like that out there. He's a long corner. You know, when he's in the pocket of the wide receiver, he's physical. He can bump guys. He can squeeze guys to the sideline. Like, there was a lot of hype about these different corners coming into the season. Well, you know, we're getting Darby back and Sidney Jones, and they just haven't been healthy. Unfortunately, Avante Maddox picks up a knock because Andrew Sandejo comes flying in. But overall, I think Rasul, very quietly, deserves a lot more praise for how he's playing this season.
Absolutely. Speaking with Michael Kiss of Bleeding Green Nation on the Comcast Business Hotline, I know completion percentage isn't necessarily all the rage, but does it give you any concern that Carson Wentz has the second worst completion percentage in the NFL?
No, I mean, that's sometimes a product of scheme, sometimes a product of having the most drops in the NFL. And I know even if you add some of those drops back in, it still doesn't look all that great. But, you know, that's a data point. And there are several different data points that you look at and you kind of take the whole picture. And I think for the most part, even with the yards per attempt down, even with the completion percentage down, I think Carson's done a pretty good job of running an efficient and effective offense. I think his accuracy has been a little bit a scattershot at times, but he's not missing like large volumes of throws or clustering bad throws together. I think overall he's done a good job of running the offense. The offense has been scaled back as well with Deshaun not being in there. And I think from a mental perspective, I think we've seen a lot of improvement from Carson, not only in the pre-snap phase, but in the post-snap phase. You know, I mentioned against Greg Williams, a lot of disguises. He ran coverage disguises as well. Carson did a good job not taking the cheese and whatnot. So I think mentally he's locked in. So overall, I'm not too concerned.
Michael, give me a quick little breakdown on these three guys, and I'm talking wide receivers. Aguilar, Arthego Whiteside, and Mac Collins. Where are they right now?
Yeah, I mean, they're pretty far away. If I were to have to say who's probably playing the best ball, it would surprisingly, and I don't think anybody would have called this, it would be Mac Collins, and he's done a decent job on the outside and appears to have the best chemistry with Wentz right now, because it doesn't seem like Aguilar and Wentz are on the same page all of the time. And Aguilar has been really struggling with whatever role they asked him to do. They asked him to be an underneath wide receiver, and that hasn't worked out because he's not a good yak guy. He's not a good yards after catch guy, despite his speed and everything. And downfield, you know, he struggles against contact. So he's struggling in that area. And of course, he's had the big time drops as well. So, I mean, Aguilar always bounces back. I think the problem is he always has to bounce back. And in his rookie year, he just kind of got in that hole. And it's nice to see him to have the confidence to come back. But he hasn't been productive in the past couple of games. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, he was always going to be a little bit of a project, kind of in that Alshon mode. You hate to see him have that drop against the Lions. Overall, I think we're very far from seeing exactly what J.J. Arcega-Whiteside is at this point. And I think chemistry between him and Wentz with the type of receiver that he is, that's going to take a little bit to develop as well. So I'm not too worried about him. But Mac's been impressive, man.
Well, speaking with Michael Kist of Bleeding Green Nation, help us figure out what this all means with Miles Sanders, please, Michael. Because he apparently is liking tweets with people suggesting different plays for him. What's going on there?
Yeah, and it's a weird criticism. So basically what happened was somebody put on Reddit that, you know, the Eagles always run Miles Sanders on these shotgun concepts where he's going left to right, you know, to the outside, and they're getting stopped, and it's not his fault. I mean, when you look at the runs that he's had in the past couple of weeks, I just ran through them before I came on the show, only five of about a little over 20 runs were from shotgun, doing that, you know, that lateral east-west sweep type run that the Eagles like. And three of them against the Packers were really effective. Against the Packers, the first one, they had a literal hash-to-hash hole for Sanders, and Sanders didn't make the first guy miss in the hole. Whose fault is that? Mm. I mean, you have to take some responsibility for yourself at some point and stop pointing fingers, because you're not making guys miss in space. And I get it. You might be frustrated with the way that, you know, he's being used, but at the same time, I don't think there's enough there for him to say, well, I'm only being used like this and I want to be used like this. And look, if you don't like being used that way, that's for the meeting room. That's not for social media. Go to Deuce and say, hey, I really want to get north-south, man. I'm having some issues with, and this is my own personal opinion coming in here. He's having some issues with some reads when they give him multi-read options on his running plays. You can see that the hamster wheel is turning really fast, and it's not great for his game because he's thinking too much. The game hasn't slowed down for him yet. That's fine. He's an inexperienced rookie. We get it. But, you know, if he wants to get more north-south concepts, like the WAM concept that they ran against the Packers that went for 30 yards, where he doesn't have to think at all. He just says, I'm running the B-gap rail. I'm running off Goddard's butt. I'm gonna light a match off of his butt, and I'm gone. Then, yeah, fine. Tell Deuce that. Don't put it on social media.
Yeah.
And it's an inaccurate representation of what the reality of how you're being used is. So I have a lot of issues with it. I don't think it's a big deal. But come on, man. Like, be a professional.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Stop trying to BS Michael's Mike.
Fired up.
Yeah, stop trying to BS Michael Kist. You can't get one by him. Michael, they got three games on the road now, and none of them against the Jets, unfortunately. But they got at Minnesota now. They got at Dallas. They got at Buffalo. How do you see the Eagles doing in the next three games?
Yeah, Minnesota's tough. I'm starting to, as I break down their film, I'm starting to get a Detroit Lions vibe from that game, which is not good because, as you might know, The Eagles lost that game.
I remember.
Yeah, I think we all do. Dallas is a paper tiger, and a lot of people were touting Kellen Moore as the next revolutionary going into the league. That's been shown to not be true. They beat up on three tomato cans and then struggled against two teams that can actually play football, so that's interesting. I think they take care of business against Dallas. And then Buffalo is another paper tiger. They're 4-1. They haven't beaten anybody. Mm-hmm. And their quarterback cannot help but turn the ball over. There are two quarterbacks in the NFL right now with over 100 attempts and more interceptions than touchdowns. It's Baker Mayfield, who you saw last night, who's struggling like crazy, and Josh Allen of the Buffalo Bills. They have a really good defense, but they're not going to be able to score with the Eagles. So I would say too easy. I'm actually most worried about the Minnesota game, even though the Dallas game is going to get the most hype.
Mm. How about that one? Mike, always great talking to you. Seriously, you break it down like no other. We appreciate you coming on. Michael Kist from Bleeding Green Nation. Thanks so much, Michael.
Thanks, guys. Y'all have a good one.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.